Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Hey, my goodness. Here we are. Big shout out to Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world. Our radio audience, and the Gulf Coast.
Yes.
Every day, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. We're so honored to be there with our sponsors and our partners in your living room every single weekday. And so make sure you catch us there. If you don't catch us on the radio, we're going to be in your living room talking to you, hopefully giving you a light perspective. Paul was killing the church. Mm-hmm. You know, his name was Saul before he was Paul, the Apostle Paul. And he was having the church stoned. He was arresting them. He was persecuting the church. And how many people would have said, well, there's no way. I mean, that person is just can't be used. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was so against the church and against the body of Christ that when he did get saved, he was on his way, on his high horse, going to, you know, Damascus to persecute Christians. Mm-hmm. And Jesus knocks him off his high horse. A big bright light shows up. It just glazes over his eyes. You know, it dries out his eyes like fish scales. It's so bright. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure he's thinking, this is probably not good. I mean, this is before bright headlights or halogen lights on any other horse.
Yeah, right.
This is like they're not the kind of light around, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he falls to the ground, and this is what Jesus says. Jesus says, Paul, or Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You see, to speak against the body of Christ in a wrong way is to speak against Jesus. That's why we're for the whole body,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we're not for the spirit that says that it's against the words of God. And he said, I think I messed up, Jesus. But he was so dedicated towards bringing destruction to the church when Ananias was sent to the house to go pray for, you know, Saul. Ananias is going, hello,
mm-hmm.
don't you know who this man is? Mm-hmm. Don't you understand who he is? I mean, he's been trying to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
He's been trying to kill church. He was on his way. He had his whole crew heading our way to kill us. Right?
Yeah.
Had a letter from the high dude in the high church. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord says, shut up and go do what I told you to. No, he just said, go ahead, pray for him. He shows up. There he is, just like God said, blind. Prayed for him and said, let me show you some. The Lord's going to show you some things that you must suffer for him, and change his name from Saul to Paul.
Mm.
But see, they were scared of him. I mean, listen, God, believe God to win the most horrific dude in your community, the most wildest woman in your community, because they're the ones that are going to do some awesome things for God. They're not going to be this religious mindset trying to worry about what the hair looks like while they're going for God, or, you know, they're perfectly ironed clothes and stuff that we're talking about in the first part of this hour, or what Pharisees think about them. It reminds me to think about one of the men that Steve Hill, with Steve Hill's ministry, Together in the Harvest, had won to the Lord, and he was like a Hell's Angel type dude. And he was in the bathroom with other people in the commercial bathroom or whatever, and they're using the restroom, washing their hands or what. He's washing his hands, and some man comes in there and begins to cuss God's name. I mean, it just got all over this tough dude who loves Jesus. I mean, you're talking about my Jesus here.
Yeah.
And so he said, you better knock it off. If you don't knock this off, he says, I'm gonna put your head in that toilet. And you don't talk about my Jesus like that.
Mm.
You know, he wasn't worried about anything, was he? And, of course, a few moments later, Steve was saying, can't do this. Get his head out the water. You know, they're not worried about that. They're just like, Jesus, what do you want me to do? And that's how Saul was, which became Paul. He was willing to go into a city. Oh, my goodness. There's so many excuses in the body of Christ, and the most of them is about convenience, comfort, and money.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul was so radical that he could walk into a city like Ephesus when there's nothing but demonic worship, you know, idol making Diana things going on, a big, huge port city, big metropolis type city that we would think of today.
Mm.
And he began to believe God, that God could move in that city. He was the first one to show up in that city, Ephesus, and began to just explode with the truth of God.
Mm.
One man, one city, totally dark. He carried the light. Why? Because he was a man that just needed to be touched by God. Yeah, he was a wild man, but you understand, God used that wildness.
Mm-hmm.
He loved God, and he was willing to say, I'm all yours. I mean, he was willing to suffer. I mean, when a word came out that said that, whoever has this belt is going to be bound in Rome, he's like, psh.
Yeah.
He's like, hello, you know, I have no problem suffering.
That's why I'm going.
That's why I'm going. You just got tapped into what I already know already.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't go, oh my goodness, I must not go because I will get less of a paycheck. It's like, he's like, oh my goodness, my union might fire me. Are you serious? You know? My wife won't let me go. Oh my goodness. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what are you doing? You know, my children, you know, they're in the 10th, 8th grade, and I just don't want to remove them from this wonderful godly education system of America to go obey the Lord and move into a city to be able to plant the church.
Right.
Are you serious? Come on.
Mm.
I'm not talking about just maverick, wild, and rebellious. I'm talking about so wild and so radical that you do what God says, and you're totally out of the fear of God, submitted to his love and leadership in your life. Listen, you can win cities for God. We're looking for men and women who are break loose from the religious, pharisaical, sadduceical mindsets, the religious bondage of our nation that'll say, you know what? I believe God. Everything that God says I can do and he can do through me can happen. The book of Acts is not a history book. It's an operations manual. This is how the church is supposed to act. This is what God does. I mean, either God is God or he's not.
All right.
I mean, you need to ask this question to yourself. Either God is God or he's not. And he is God.
Mm-hmm.
Either God can or he can't. You got to ask yourself, by the way, he can. But if you don't have the right answers to these two questions, you're going to be held captive.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, God loves you, no matter, you know, where you are in this equation. But understand, we're looking for a few who will stand up like Paul, who will stand up like Peter, who will stand up like James, who will stand up like Billy Graham, who will stand up like Amy Sibley McPherson, who will stand up like John Paul Jackson, or stand up like Steve Hill, or stand up like John Kilpatrick, stand up like Michael Brown. Who in this generation is going to stand up like a Pat Robinson, or stand up and say, you know what? All this crew has served their generation well, but where are you to serve this generation? We're looking for you.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for you. You're going to have to bust out. There's a birthing process, and you can't do it alone. But listen, we're looking for you. Maybe you're called to be a part of Gideon's army. I mean, think about Gideon's army. What are the qualifications? The weakest and least likely.
That's right.
Check.
Check, check.
The things that are not to nullify the things that are.
That's right.
Check. Think about it. The weak things of the world to shame the strong.
Check.
What does one weak man say to another weak man? Let's pray. If you don't have that let's pray mindset, you don't realize how weak you are yet.
That's right. Absolutely.
That's so funny, you know. Pat and I'll look at each other and just stare. Nothing's happening over here. You got an answer coming? No. We need to pray. And God comes through. It's amazing, isn't it?
Every time.
Which confirms, check.
Check, check, check.
I mean, think about it. Like right now, as we're speaking, a former Marine, if there is a former Marine, once a Marine, always a Marine, Stephen Kalaszewski, who served two tours of duty in Iraq. He defended us. He fought for us. He laid down with his brothers his freedom to go fight for our freedom for a time in the United States Marine Corps. And now he comes back and he begins to wonder what life's about, and he cries out to God, and God meets him. You can go to the VFN Torch and hear his testimony. You know, Marine encounters God. It was a powerful, powerful Saul-like transformation as he cried out to God, and God showed up so powerfully that he had to pause for a moment and think, oh, he's real now? I feel him, and I don't know what to say.
Yeah, right.
Hello? Is that you, God? And he went through the process because he knew that I needed to get rightly related, and I needed to get connected, and I needed to be discipled. I need to know the ways of Jesus. And then I want to be trained up and go through VFNU, and I want to have family around me because we're called to be family, and fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters. And he decides to join Gideon's army. And today, as we speak, today, because he responded to the call that I'm talking to you about right now.
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, is about to be blessed.
That's right.
Why? Because he's being the first. Mm-hmm. He's the first to carry what this generation's going to do for God. Listen, what you're seeing primarily in America is what the past generation has done, and that is so cool, and it is God. You need to honor that.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, there's a new wind blowing across this nation. Everything that's been before is coming to an end.
Mm-hmm.
And to be frank with you, a lot of people just need to let go and let God.
Right.
As Chuck Pierce said, that we're being held captive because we won't let go of what God's wanting to take control of in his church,
mm-hmm.
the government of the church. And because Steve listened, because he said, yes, here I am, God, send me. I mean, he was willing to go and fight for your freedom, and now he's willing to fight for the freedom of those in Pittsburgh. He's going to plant a church in Pittsburgh to tell them about the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
He's already gone and spied out the land. You got to hear it. You got to hear the stories of what God's doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's so exciting. It's not about what religion's made it out to be. Listen, I mean, Easter is so important about what happened that day, but listen, it's more than an Easter play. Every single day of your life should be filled with great excitement and expectation and abiding with him and launching out and going into new cities. I mean, you're going to spend eternity either regretting not doing this or dreading what you did instead or celebrating gratitude, thinking, I'm so glad I did not waste one moment of that, because this life is so short.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have all of eternity to think about it. And nothing truly satisfies, you know it is, other than obeying God, living in God's presence. We're created for his presence. We were made to love him. And loving him is obeying him.
All right.
But he empowers us to be able to love him and to go this out. So here he is, this Marine. Now he's in Gideon's army, headed to Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Big old U-Haul truck, car being pulled behind it, to plant a church. Why? Because he's like Paul. He's like Paul. He said, here I am, right? Like Isaiah, sorry, send me. I believe, God, that you can win Pittsburgh, that you love the people of Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And you want me to tell them that you love them and you have a plan for your life, and you want me to preach your kingdom to them one by one, and you want me to begin to connect and relate, and those that believe, you want me to baptize them in the three rivers,
mm-hmm.
and disciple them. What do you believe in God for? Another car?
Mm-hmm.
Another raise? A bigger cable package?
Mm-hmm.
A third relationship? Really, come on. Think about it. Live life on the edge of obeying God. This generation needs leaders. Listen, Gideon's army's qualifications, read about Gideon.
Gideon was sitting in a wine press, eking out a living because everybody, the entire nation, was under great oppression. Welcome to the future.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
If schoolwork is a battle in your home, Cynthia Tobias offers this helpful suggestion on today's Focus on the Family Minute.
One lady came up to me after a PTA meeting and she said, oh, my fifth grade daughter, she uses her learning style and all her strengths and stuff. She uses as an excuse. She says that on Thursday nights, she can only do her homework between 8 and 8:30 while she watches her favorite TV show. She said, I think that's just a big fat excuse. And I said, well, there's one way to find out. As long as it's a television show you approve of, this Thursday night, let her do her homework between 8 and 8:30 while she watches the show. But what should you do at 8:30? You collect the homework. Now, if it's done and done correctly, you have to say, whoa, I could never do it this way, but you obviously can because it works. But if you collect it and it's not done or not done well, you get to say, nice try. We won't be trying that again.
More insights from Cynthia Tobias on today's 30-minute radio program on this station or at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
You need to know in whom you believe. You need to know God. It's not enough to know about him, to know of him, but you have to walk with Jesus. You have to have an intimate relationship because we're entering a season that's going to be some of the worst of times, but at the same time is going to be some of the best of times. And you're going to need to know God. You're not going to be able to, as maybe you've heard said, play church, if you will, as if you could. You're going to need to know him. And so we want to encourage you now. This is the best day. Today is the day of salvation. And we want to encourage you that if you are a believer, begin an abiding relationship with the Lord. What is that? That's when you spend time with God, you read his word, and you allow his word to penetrate your heart. And when it does that, it transforms your life. You walk together with God. You walk united with him. We have a simple plan for you, and you can get it. It doesn't cost you a thing at iabide.org. Go there today. Go there today and sign up for this free plan, and it's kind of a roadmap to help you on a day-to-day basis begin to start setting, you know, that time with God as a priority. And as you do that, it's amazing what God will reveal to you, what he will show you. I mean, children are abiding, and that God's saying some of the most amazing things to them, and they're writing it down. So you just don't want to miss it.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
And an angel shows up and sees him. He was hiding in the wine press because the Midianites would come in, and that name means strife, would come in, and every time they would get something going, they would steal it and stomp on it and take their stuff and things, and people were hiding in caves and stuff. And God was about to move powerfully. I mean, it looked like it was just terrible. How could this be? How could God about to move? And Gideon is hiding. He's not in a wine press because it's a good place to work. He's there because so the Midianites won't see him working so he can get some wheat for his family to go feed them. And then God sends a messenger, and I really believe right now you're hearing me, I'm your messenger. And he looks at Gideon, the weakest and the least likely. He's hiding from the oppression. He can out 11, and he says, mighty man of valor. I mean, you think about it. Who is this man?
Right.
That's basically what he's saying. Is like, listen, I don't want to hear any more about this old time religion. I don't want to hear historically what happened in your generation. The question I have for you, what's going to happen in our generation?
Right.
What happened in your generation does me no good. It saves no one in this generation. Who's going to rise up? Who's going to be the Gideon in this generation? Who's going to obey the plans of God? Who's going to say, I know what you did, and I know it worked in your generation, but now more people are leaving God than coming to him. Everything's upside down in the church. Right. There's great stress and oppression. Gross darkness is covering the face of the earth. And you're eking out a living. And I'm saying, mighty man of valor. Mighty woman of virtue. Mm-hmm. We can do this. The same God of past generations is still God today. We've been looking for you. But listen, there's very few Marines, not a lot of Marines. They call them the tip of the spear. When they sign their papers to get in, they say, listen, you know, I'm going to lay down my life. I'm willing to lay down my life for this cause. That's what they say. And what an awesome thing. That's why you admire Marines, what they're willing to do. The tip of the spear for our freedom.
Right.
And all of our military forces. But you know what? When you join the army of God, the spiritual army of God, not physical army. When you join this army of God, you got to sign the papers. I mean, if you try to join the army of God and you haven't signed these papers, you're whining a lot. Because you find out every day your life's being demanded from you. Your schedule's being demanded from you. What you want's being demanded from you. It's like a dead man, a dead woman doesn't even complain about it.
Mm-mm.
Like, it's going to cost me this. It's going to cost me that. It's like, you haven't enlisted yet. Oh, you didn't read the small print.
Right.
And it's miserable being tied between two opinions. You got to decide what you're going to do. Is it not important for us to be the Billy Grahams of our generation? Is it not important for us to be the Coach McCartneys of our generation? I mean, who's going to do it? Who is going to be the man? Who's going to be the woman? Listen, break all that stuff. Mindsets are saying that you got to be attached to what was. It's time to be attached to what is. God is doing a new thing. You will not be able to even imagine what God's about to do on the earth. He's about to do something so powerful. There's going to be a wave, a tidal wave of awesomeness. Yes, it's going to be the best of times and the worst of times, but it's going to be the best of times for the church. The church is going to rise to its occasion. Whether America stands or falls, the church is going to rise to its most awesome harvest it's ever seen. But the question is, are you going to join the ranks? Quit blaming everybody. It's your choice. It sounded good when you blamed everybody for not enlisting in the army, but the truth is, it's your choice. Are you going to be the ones who write about what happened because you go with Jesus? Or are you going to be the ones that read about what happened because you got to wait for them to send you the book because you chose not to go with them?
Right.
Some people write about it, and most people read about it. We're looking for a few good, humble, willing Sauls.
Yeah.
That understands we need God. And read Judges chapter 7. You can see it was a journey for Gideon.
Yeah.
But it started with, okay, I'll do it. And what's so cool about this is we've been preparing for you for a long time.
Yes.
We've been digging trenches. We've been laying foundation. The apostolic foundation has been laid. And so we've put these things together for what took us a season of sowing and harvesting and learning and hearing and precept upon precept. I mean, I go back and I look in Vine Fellowship Network University. I go back to see some of these revelations that God has given us that's waiting for you to taste and see this good. And I'm amazed because it's been like one continual prophetic word utterance that just continued to come and come and come and come. It's not what religion has made it out to be. I stand amazed because you understand prophecy is the person who's prophesying. They're not that word. God is using them to speak that word out. And they can end up taking notes on themselves because you're thinking, oh my goodness, that didn't come from me. That can't. God's doing something.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing something. And I look back and say, my goodness. But the question is, are you going to turn to politics? Are you going to turn to God? Are you going to turn to religion? Are you going to turn to a relationship? Are you going to join the army of God and say, you know what? I want to be that person this generation. This generation is worth giving my life for. God gave his life for me, his son's life for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give my life for him. I'm going to lay down my life. I'm going to love God. He says, no greater love hath a man than he lay down his life for his friend. Everybody wants to keep it. They say, really? Mm-hmm. Lay it down. Lay it down. If that's you this morning, we've been waiting for you. We've been waiting for you. Go to vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org, and check out. It's happening. You can go to greglancasterministries.org, and you can see everything that's happening in the context of that. God's doing many things across the earth, and this is just one of the things that he's doing. But if I'm talking to you and you're listening to me, nothing happens by accident. Mm-mm. It's time to respond. We're looking for a few good men. Actually, a few humble men, because the only one is good is God. He just wants his goodness to come through you. Find out more at greglancasterministries.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to vfntv.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to vfntv.com and get the podcast today. It's time. Come on. It's time to follow God. It's time to read his word and do what it says. Listen, there's grace for that. There's mercy for that. I mean, walking with God, there's nothing more exciting than to be the church. Yes, the truth is, if the church doesn't grasp this revelation, we may lose our own country.
Right.
We may lose this freedom that God's given us. But lose it or not lose it. Listen, let me tell you something. The church is across the world. Every form of government is in all those different nations and the nation that you're in. But listen, the kingdom of God continues on no matter what. It's time to read the word and do what it says. Do you know, that's what Vine Fellowship Network does. Mm-hmm. You know, we just believe what God says and we begin to do it. You know, Vine Fellowship Network is a network of abiding churches, you know, led by pastors, and that maybe you have inside of you, the Lord's calling you to plant a church. You know, maybe in your city that you're called, you feel like the Lord's calling you to be able to plant a church. But guess what? That's not wrong to be able to advance the kingdom and share the gospel of Jesus Christ in your city, but you need to be connected, rightly related. You need to be have other brothers and sisters standing with you and to be trained, make disciples, teach them to obey all my teachings, Jesus said. You know, VFNU, we have everything available for you if we are for you. If God's calling you to relate to us, that's Vine Fellowship Network, Vine Fellowship Network, or VFNFamily.org. VFNFamily.org. Listen, that is not wrong what you're seeking to do, but you got to make sure it can't be just done any old way. You have to do it in a way that you're covered and rightly related, and you have people standing with you who understand that this is a God thing. This is what he wants, to go into all the world and preach the good news of the kingdom. And those who believe, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all my commandments. Check it out, vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Memory lane, as we're talking about some things that happened in the past, and you know, having you know, an adult, you know, fatherless son on a phone, and yet reaching out for the next generation. And it was so cool. A lot of them, Derek was one of the boys that came on to, man, now he's a man,
He's a man.
He's a man. And you can find him on the VFN Torch. You know, some of his segments are in the highlights of him of sharing. But he's a father now and got kids and all that
amazing
stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he's got the same smile and all.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
He was, matter of fact, he was preaching. Mm-hmm. And another young man that was out there, he's a youth minister now. But then he was just a boy. But now he's a man, and he's a youth minister helping young people out and all. And there's all over the world. I remember when, you know, Amber was at IHOP Kansas City, the International House of Prayer, and she sat in a classroom. And she looked at the guy next door on the a seat or whatever, and he starts talking to her, and she realizes that he was one of the participants for the, during the 10-year period of going to the next step, you know, Outbound Father and Son Camp Trips that we call them. And
amazing.
And it's just touched the world. And you know what? You know, if you're thinking about, you know, is what you're doing for the Lord significant? The nothing you do for God is in vain. Not one thing that you do for him is in vain.
That's right.
But realize the most effective things that you do, you know, for him will be the most things that cause you to feel like it's insignificant, because, you know, society itself will make you feel that way. It'll make you feel like, you know, it's not good. And the truth is, it is good.
Mm-hmm.
It is good. And that's why the enemy's lying. He's a liar and he's a father of lies. So don't believe the lie. For example, when a kid says, hey, I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to hear any kind of wisdom. What they're really saying is like, my life's falling apart and I don't want to humble myself, but I need everything that you're saying. Can you say in a way where it looks like I'm not actually having to listen to you?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, you got to read between the rebellion, right? You know, you think about this, that, you know, we want to talk about in just a minute about what's happening with the United Nations and Iran and all, but take a moment here. Dr. Dobson, he spent his entire life, you know, dedicated to studying the family. When you think about it, I mean, his ministry is called Focus on the Family. I mean, he studied marriage, he studied children, he studied John. And, just joking. And, I mean, if you're going to get any wisdom on how to raise children, it would be from Dr. James Dobson.
That's right.
You know? And you think, well, he's gonna, you know, I mean, raising kids. I mean, not just, you know, having tenants called kids in your home. I'm talking about raising kids.
Big difference.
It's a big difference. You know, when you raise corn, that means there is no corn. You plant the seed and you raise it. It comes out of the ground. It produces something, and it's productive. That's called raising corn, right?
Right.
And, you know, there's a big difference in raising children versus having tenants that you tolerate. And it's the hardest thing you'll ever do, because you love, you know, parents love their kids so much, you know, and I've heard some lies about society. You know, they say, you know, society's problem is because it's all because of parents. And it's like, well, really? How could it be that way? I know parents that have tried everything that they could try, you know, a single mother or a single father or double parents. Everybody has an individual will. You know, and they blamed all society's problems on bad parenting, which explained that person.
Yeah. to the T.
Anyway, and so, you know, you're seeking Dr. James Dobson. He's going to tell us how to raise teenagers, right?
Right.
And let's just go buy Dr. Dobson's book and get his DVD. He wrote a book called Bringing Up Boys. He talks about, he said he had this like 20-foot rope, you know, tied to a tree. This is probably something that you would have done, Pat.
Probably.
Yeah. But, and he tied it, and he's going to jump out of the tree, and he's going to swing it with this rope, this 20-foot rope. But the problem was the branch that he tied it to was only 10 foot away from the ground.
Oh, my God.
There was a 10-foot differential there. And
obviously he wasn't melancholy. He didn't measure it for
He didn't measure at all, you know. I think boys, though, young boys, no matter their personality, that frontal lobe is very important. It needs to develop. You know, you think it, you know, anyway, so And so here's Dr. Dobson. You know, you're gonna find out what Dr. Dobson has to say. I mean, this is gonna be the secret, because obviously I must be doing everything wrong, and so I'm gonna go talk to the man who studied them. And this is what Dr. Dobson said. I mean, this, all those years, John. Everybody, and this is what Dr. Dobson says. Right? He goes, the teenage years, just get through them.
Thank you.
Just get through them. I'm like, can you expound on that? Yeah, they really last longer than that sentence, you know. Just get through them. You know, I think about this. You know, it doesn't say, the Bible does not tell us, you know, how old Satan was when he rebelled against God.
Hmm.
But I'm sure he was a teenager. Oh, my goodness. It's just real tough. You know, you're trying to find yourself as a teenager, and you're trying to get your own, but you're frustrated because you're still, you know, a suckling on your parents', you know, substance. But then you're saying, I am my own. It's hard to put your foot down when it lands in your parents'. Oh, it's a tough transition,
mm-hmm.
you know. And if you have a father who loves you, you know, your father, and this is why the father's been emasculated and pulled out, but a father's going to say, well, it's just time for you to grow, boy. He was like,
that's right.
You'll figure it out. Go plant yourself in some dirt. Mm-hmm. You know, because he knows that the kid's going to have to kick in.
That's right.
But there's so many things interfering with the way fathers raise their kids today that, you know, what they call safety nets are destroying our children.
Huge.
You know, it would have been better for them to wallow in the mud a little bit, you know, and feed the pigs a little bit. You know, and the consequences of their decisions a little bit, then to run down there and give them a stimulus package so they could live in some place that kept them stuck in the mud, you know, for 10 years of their life. Right?
Yeah. You introduce them to two new friends, Sam and So Knight. Here you go.
Sam's
and So Knight. Sam and So Knight.
You're right. He's like, I'm leaving. Yes, baby, you're leaving. Well, your bags are already at the door, you know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but you know, just helping somebody—that's what God does to us.
Sure,
and that's what God does to us. And it's like, but the devil has so many things into our nation's fabric, and I have a lot of theories about that, and I have a lot of word of knowledge about that. But we aren't talking about that much. But the it's all demonic when it comes time to anything interfering the way the father would raise his daughters and his sons, because God has innately put something inside that father or mother, you know, to be able to impart into them, you know, something that society that doesn't understand how God's designed us, that everything has to die first before it can become something. Everything has to, I mean, even the very, the egg inside of a woman, there is no doorway. It has to fight its way out. There is no, I mean, there's pain. A woman has pain in the process of bringing forth a child. Everything's, there's the brokenness of life and things that you just learn from that. But if you keep that away from somebody, they never learn. They just stay in this immature suckling state.
Yeah.
And the government just wants to be, replace God. You know, one of the names for God is the breasty one.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, as you begin to cry out for God, provision comes from God. And the government wants to replace God and them to become the breasty one, where,
right.
you know, if you need something, we'll provide for you. If you need medical, we'll provide for you. If you need provision, we'll provide for you. And all of a sudden, they don't cry out to God anymore.
Sure.
They cry out to government.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it was okay to cry out to God.
Right.
You know, and that's how God's designed things. And, you know, a child will never grow up despite them being 50. If they never learn to cry out to God, they never learn to turn to God and cry out. They're just stuck.
Right.
And they've never seen the provision. You talk a mother, a breastfeeding mother, that she could be across her house from a total different room. And as soon as that baby begins to cry, that God's designed the mother's body, that instantly she will fill up with milk, ready to feed that baby. Wow. I mean, it just happens.
Wow.
And so the baby gets frustrated sometimes and doesn't nurse. And so she gets frustrated and says, listen, I have provision for you. You're just going to have to line up.
Mm.
And that's how God is. Like, God's going, I'm the one that's giving you the air and the substance. You got to cry out to me, but you can't just get it any way you want it. This is how you receive substance from me.
Mm.
And the mother just gets more provision and more provision, where she starts hurting because so much milk is dropped because the baby's crying produces provision in the mother. And listen, if you're, that's how God is. One of his names, one of the defined names of God, if you look at the definition, it means the breasty one, the provision of God, the substance of God. But you got to line up to get it. You can't just say, throw it over here, my well of rebellion. You know, you got to line up. If you're crying out to the right source, to God, you know, and going through the blood, which is Jesus' blood, and saying, listen, Lord, I need you. I mean, God's going to provide for you. But if you've provided for your kids every step of the way, now they're like 50, they've never got a chance to cry out to God and find out he's Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. You know, and it's such a strategy. You can see what how the enemy's using the government to take over the role of fathers, to take the role of family, take the role of God in all these different areas, and saying, we'll take care of you.
And because of that different or even become a warped perception, those that begin to take their hands off and allow their young people, the children they've been raising, to grow up and become the men and women, it's, you know, it's time to play the man, it's time to play the woman, it's time to do now. That could almost seem as if that was wrong to those people's eyes. How could you let them suffer? How could you let them, like, suffer? Who in America suffers when you think about it?
Right.
You know, who in America really suffers? You have children that were working so hard so many years ago as young children. You know, even in my own family, my grandmother, I remember stories her telling as a child working on the farms. And it's like, no one in America really can say that they truly suffer. We found out that we're in the richest percentile of the world. But it's through that suffering, it's through that going through, like you said, the pain, that we can actually learn.
Yeah.
But if we're looking back and looking for dependence upon a parent or anyone else but God, how are we going to make it?
And you look at you look at the people that's accomplished anything. If you listen to their life story, it consists of them going through pain. They were willing to go through the pain of the process to be able to arrive. I might have, you know, Tim Tebow's book sitting on my shelf, and to remember. And also, you know, Brett gave me a picture of Tim when he was praying for the Denver Broncos. Thank you, Brett. And sitting there to remind me and have his DVD that, I mean, he didn't just happen. I mean, he's dragging tires, trees, pushing cars. I mean, he's aggressively going. I mean, he's got to be willing to tell himself no and tell himself yes at the right times and go through the process of all that. And we celebrate people who paid the price, but we complain when people are trying to encourage other people to be successful. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
How can you be trying to help me? You're having me drag a tire. Well, you said you wanted to be a Tim Tebow. You're going to have to drag a tire.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have to deny yourself. You know, it's like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I'm going to have to deny myself. And it's the process.
Yeah. You know, they wrote a book called The Millionaire Next Door several years ago. And the whole idea was to study millionaires. And they wanted to find out, these marketers, these companies hired these marketers to find out, how does the average millionaire think in America? So they just took a person who had a net worth of about $1 million. And they realized some really interesting things, that the average millionaire, the millionaire next door, was a person that actually worked very hard. Didn't make this Hollywood money or whatever, this gobs amount of money. They lived below their means. They lived in a house that was below what they could actually afford. They drove American cars that, you know, their credit cards weren't, you know, American Express Black, you know what I mean? But they were actually, you know, just Visas or whatever. They had JCPenney cards and stuff like that. And so they started interviewing them. What they found out was one study was just about first generation people that came to the United States. They became so successful. And what they found out is that here's this working mom or dad who started a business here. They're working hard at their job. They rose the ranks, and now they've accumulated all this wealth. And yet they instead encouraged their children to do the very same thing that they did. They started buying them cars and sending them to colleges and propping them with all this, you know, stuff. Thinking that's how they're going to, you know, do well. And what they did was, you know, bring a dependent, you know, next generation. And so next generation is totally dependent on the parents that came on over, and is thinking, you know what, that's not how it needs to be. You know,
and now the government's saying, listen, as a matter of fact, you know, all the way up to the age of 25 now, you can be on your parents' insurance policy. And he's like, he's married and he's got three kids and he's a soldier in Afghanistan. Why does he need to be, you know, right, that type of thing? He's like,
serious?
You're not grown up by 25? Come on.
Dude, it's half of 50.
Yeah, it's half of 50. And you look at our generations past, I mean, you know, that's half life.
Exactly.
You know, mm-hmm. And it's like, it's a strategy. It's a strategy for nobody to ever grow up, mm-hmm. nobody ever to cry out to God, and everybody to be kind of stuck in God not being the provider, but someone else being the provider for what's
going on. Yeah, the scriptures say that the laborer's appetite works for him. It drives him on. It's nothing like being hungry and needing to work. You know what I'm saying?
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I mean, can you imagine being on a football field, Pat?
Yeah. Not now, I could.
In his glory days.
Way, way, way back then.
Really?
Yeah.
He can imagine.
I can imagine.
He can imagine. Thing. He got that PS2 thing, you know, he thinks he's played football now.
He didn't say actually play. You said imagine.
We got to find that rag head. You had that, the look. You had,
oh, it's on the torch.
I've got it.
Oh, we have that.
It's on the torch.
Okay, good. We'll bring that up.
Yes.
Was he holding the ball or was he on the bench? I can't remember what that picture
was. He was holding the water.
It was the water.
The offense was on the field.
But he looked so footballish. He looked so footballballish sitting on the bench.
I was resting.
Is that what they call those guys at Portland?
It took me a while to realize. Wait a minute. He's not on the field. He said he's on the bench. But he sure looked like a football player.
He had it going on.
No, getting back
there
to
there was
it,
a day.
There was a day. But, you know, imagine being on a football field. You've never played it before. And you would be me. No. And but the other teams played football before. And they're playing the game. They know the rules. They know all these things going on. So you're walking around on this. What a nice lawn. I don't know why they put white lines on the lawn down here.
All right.
Oh, my goodness, they're coming after me. Oh, whew, they just ran around me. It's totally fine. And you don't realize all of a sudden they get to one part of that yard, you know, that has some weird metal devices at the end of it that they dance around. But they start dancing and do weird dances, and people start cheering. I mean, how foolish does that look? I mean, it would look, I guess, sort of like the Saints in their past, you know, walking around on the field thinking, what's this, football going on?
Yeah, pretty much.
Is this football going on? Or the Detroit Lions. And yes, that's not a croquet team.
Or the Mets.
Hey.
Anyway, so getting back to real sports. exactly. And so, I mean, think about real. I mean, really, just because you need to really get that paradigm to understand what I'm going to be talking about. And at some point, somebody would say, you know, get off the field.
Yeah.
Or learn how to play the game. Or at some point, like the Saints, they just said, hey, we ought to read the rule book. Maybe we can win this thing. And it was amazing. They read the book, and next thing you know, they prayed, and the Lord answered. Yeah, Drew Brees came in.
That's right. They prayed
Sean
hard.
Payton and something about breaking knees. I don't know. Anyway, so, anyway.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. And that's something.
Amazing.
Yeah. He don't use that when it comes to Muslim Brotherhood, but it comes to the Saints. It's allegedly. That is amazing.
Wow.
Allegedly, he doesn't.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, it's this website, and we can't really endorse the folks who put this website together. We don't know exactly, you know, what their goal is, I guess, in sharing this. And I think mm-hmm. they're trying to you know, end poverty and that type of stuff. But they have a calculator here, Pat, mm-hmm. and it says how rich you are. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be able to put some numbers in here, and we'll see how rich you are. Mm-hmm. Okay, see how blessed. Because, you know, first thing that Americans want to do is are complaining about how much money they're making or how much money they're not making, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And what we're going to put some numbers, and these numbers are going to tell you mm-hmm. how rich, you know, what percentage you live in the world's population, like how rich you are compared to the rest of the world.
Right.
And so they put a disclaimer here, which I think is pretty good, because they say, you might think that the above figures are distorted because each dollar goes further in an impoverished country. So they're saying, don't think that this is going to be miscued now because, you know, American dollar is going to go farther than, you know, in another country because their currency is worth less. Mm-hmm. Although, you know, America's currency is not what it used to be.
Yeah, exactly.
However, these figures have already been adjusted to take this into account instead of simply using the current exchange rate to compare incomes. They are compared in terms of how much money is needed to buy locally what $1 buys in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just, it's like equal here.
Yeah.
Okay. This is called purchasing power parity. Mm. And many developing world statistics are adjusted to take it into account. Therefore, we are really part of a very small, well, let's play with these numbers. So what's the first, let's say if you make, let's just say what, let's just start out with $75,000, Pat.
Okay.
I know you're, yeah. And let's say, let's just give these folks a healthy family size. Let's say a family of five.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
right.
That's two people. Let's say it's two incomes. Let's say in America, right? Mm-hmm. $75,000.
Right.
We're not going crazy. We're not even going 100,000, a million, 3 million, you know, whatever, 250,000.
Right.
We're just gonna say 75,000.
Sure.
Oh my goodness, Pat.
What's it say?
Are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
You are in the richest 8.5% of the world's population.
Wow.
8.5%.
Okay, put that in layman's terms. What does that really mean?
Well, think about it. Think about this. That there's, out of the whole world's population, only 8% of the income earners are above that. You know, everyone, I mean, you're basically in the top 8% of all the income that's made in the world.
Right.
That's huge.
Wow.
In fact, what it says is that your income is more than 13 times that of a typical person.
13 times.
13 times. Get this. You still be, if you gave 10% of your income away, $75,000, a family of five now, family of five, you gave away 10%, you still be in the top 9.6%.
Wow.
Of all the income in the world.
And
then we're just like, oh my goodness.
And it's not enough.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, the whole thing is that we're complaining about what we don't have, and we're blessed, man. We are so rich in this nation.
Mm-hmm.
We have more wealth than most people in the world. In the world.
Wow.
And the reason why, you know, think about it. If, you know, why do you have to have the fancy car? I mean, really think about it. I mean, if it's about just transportation, you know, and listen, I'm not against nice vehicles. You know, nice car is a nice car. It'll work, you know.
Sure.
But and you really start to think about it. You really start to think about it. If it's about getting to A to B, what would any car just do? I mean, if you were in an island where nobody saw what you drove.
Right.
Would you care if you were in a hoopty? were you in an Escalade? I mean, would it really matter? You know, if it did the same and nobody saw it, would you really care?
Mm-hmm.
You just want to know that you want to get from one end of the island
to the other. Right.
And so you really begin to start questioning your motives, the why of what you do and what, you know, all this type of stuff. And we don't need to hang our hat on anything else but Jesus Christ. My goodness. You know, nothing, refuse to let anything else bring you joy or satisfaction. Let's play some more. Let's say, let's go a little bit more. Give me a number here. Give me a number, Pat. Give me a number. Let's
higher?
A lower. Let's go.
A lower number?
Let's see.
Say 50,000.
All right, let's go 50,000. Okay, and let's give them what, a good family of, because we want to be realistic.
Say a family of six.
Six? Let's go to seven.
I'll say.
Would you say that a family of seven is a lot of mouths to feed?
That's a lot, yeah.
That's a lot of mouths to feed.
I know somebody with seven.
Ooh. Wow. You are in the richest 17%. In the richest 17%, you're still in the top 20% tier. That means 80% of the world's population earns less than you.
Right.
80% of the world's population. That's huge. And even if you gave away 10% of it, you'd still be at 18%. That's huge.
Wow.
But you know what, Pat? We're going to go even a step further. Because, you know, I know some people are like, oh, I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
Right.
So, let's just throw another number in there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say if you go, let's get crazy.
How about, say, you know, like a college kid, single guy, making, I don't know, 18 grand a year.
18?
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Just himself? Well, actually, you know what? Let me do this one for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm using poverty. This is what they declare as poverty, okay? Well, how they declare a poverty income.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Say 23,000
mm-hmm.
with a family of five.
Yeah.
Okay. That's in America.
Mm-hmm.
It's in America.
Right.
And you put five playing here with this, okay? Listen to VFN radio listeners. Let's see. Oh my goodness. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Are you ready for this?
Okay.
21%.
Wow.
You're in the 21% of the richest people and the wealthiest people in the world. In wow. the world. We need perspective, man. We need perspective. It's like, Lord, forgive us. Did you know that the average person lives on $4 a day? Now, I use those numbers. Let me say, if you're making, you know, 100 and 250, you can imagine what that percentage of the world that you live in.
Mm-hmm.
You can imagine. And we're going to make this available so that you can see for yourself and show your family, but we need to return back to a heart of gratitude. We need to turn back to a place where we honor the Lord and being thankful. We need to turn back to a place where we're, as the church, are not robbing God. Even if you tithe and you give your offering, you're still living in the most wealthiest 20% at the worst case scenario of the world who lives on $4 a day. Let me tell you, you are blessed. Let's begin to honor God and appreciate the blessings that he's given us, not to live in a time where we're complaining, but that we have an attitude of gratitude, that we're thankful for everything the Lord has done.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Every single weekend, starting at 9 a.m. Central Time, going all the way to Monday morning at 9 a.m. when the live program starts, every single weekend we have Marathon Weekend. What is that? That's every program that was live throughout that week plays back to back.
Back to back?
Back to back. Marathon Weekend. You got to get it.